Welcome to the podcast of Fellowship Church in Dallas, Pennsylvania, where we seek to provide biblical sermons, practical discussions, and training resources for the church to equip God's people for the work of the ministry.
Welcome again to the Fellowship Podcast. I am your host, Chris Mott. I'm here with my co-host with the most, Jake Brown.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And we have a real treat in store for you guys today. We have the two leaders of men's ministry in the studio. We have with us Jeff Schimp and Dan Fuhrer.
And say hello, guys.
Hey.
Hey, hello.
All right, so tell us a little bit about yourselves and how men's ministry became a passion of yours.
So I'm Jeff. I've been going to Fellowship Church here for, it's got to be 4 or 5 years. I lose track. I'm one of the co-leaders of men's ministry. I've been involved in men's ministry in a lot of different capacities for years, in some churches I attended previously. I'm going to say at least the last 20, 25 years I've been involved some way in men's ministry. For me, really, when I moved to this area probably 30 some years ago and started visiting churches, didn't really feel like men were, they weren't really reaching out to men, and felt very, kind of alone walking into these churches, not really having other guys come up to me, try to get me included. So I think since then, that's always been my objective, is to not have other men walk into a church and feel that way, to come in and feel like there's something for them here and something, you know, they're important. And we need to reach out to them.
Awesome.
Yeah, so my name's Dan. I started a Fellowship Church probably when I was 6, and then left for quite a while during my teen years, and then came back about 10 years ago. So I guess that was 2010 that Steph and I, who's my wife, came back to the church. And so I didn't really, this is actually my first leadership position that I kind of got put into. I was the leader of security for a little while, but that was more of a kind of an administrative role. But leadership of a ministry, I never really been involved in until Pastor Mark came and said that he's really trying, his vision was to come with a centralized men's ministry, because we had a couple moving pieces. Like, we had a breakfast going on, we had Edgic, who faithfully did Saturday in the Park for a very long time, and his vision was to have something that was organized to feed the men of Fellowship Church the spiritual food that they needed. And when he came to me and asked me, we went through an interview process, I guess you would want to call it, and he came up to me and he said, you know, I really want you to lead this, but I want you to do it with a co-lead. And I, of course, I was skeptical at first, because I was like, I don't work well with others, typically. because, I mean, the nature of my job, like, I'm a financial advisor by trade, and it's a one-man show. I do it all myself. It's my client base and everything like that. So I'm used to just working alone. So I was apprehensive walking into it, but he said, yeah, I really want you to lead it with Jeff. And I didn't know Jeff well. I mean, we knew a couple things, like in passing, we talked a couple times, saw each other at breakfast. But the way that this God has molded us together to lead this thing, it's been awesome to watch, and just awesome to see how God's now moving in Fellowship Church men's ministry. Just in a short, I mean, it's only been, what, 2 years now? You know?
Yeah, this is our second year going into it.
You know, in a short amount of time. It's been really, truly awesome to see. So I guess I didn't start with a passion for men's ministry, but now it's like consuming.
Awesome.
You know, that's awesome. So praise God.
Cool. Well, I have to echo what Dan said. And, you know, there was kind of a grassroots men's movement that started before the official ministry was formed. And you guys know, because you know, everyone in this room was kind of in this at the beginning. We bonded with men around a common interest. You know, And I think at the start we had about 12 guys that were getting together on a pretty regular basis. And then, you know, from that it turned into, hey, you know, let's get together and do a Bible study or some kind of men's study. And we looked at 33 and went to the pastors and the elders and said, can we do this? And we had their full support from the beginning. Again, this still was not, it was not official fellowship men's ministry. It was spontaneous the way God put it together. Mm-hmm. It wasn't planned. It just happened. And that was definitely God. So I think from the leadership's perspective, because they had been praying about men's ministry getting started again here at Fellowship, and I believe the elders and the pastors went on retreat, and I remember Pastor Mark saying to me, just so you know, one of our top priorities of discussion is going to be men's ministry. So it just kind of seemed natural that when they came back and said it's time to move forward, you know, they saw that we were already investing in men and getting things started. So I think we went to breakfast. It was Dan and I and Pastor Mark went to breakfast at Chuck's over in Luzerne, and he asked us to co-lead together. And the same thing, I didn't know Dan that well, but I knew he's got very good administrative skills. I knew we would complement each other, and I think that's kind of the way it's played out over the last couple of years. So we just look forward to what's going to happen, you know, in the future in 2020.
That's awesome.
Cool.
It's something that, like, I was catching is just like how you both mentioned it, that it's just God. God is orchestrating this. Even from the very beginning with you, Jeff, with, you know, not seeing, you know, churches showing the love of Christ to men well. Yeah. And the need for that. And God instilling that in you, and same with you, Dan, just, you know, not really seeing that, you know, I was really called to men's ministry, but then God using your gifts along with Jeff's to orchestrate this and come to put this together. And also, you, unbeknownst to you guys, God putting on Pastor Mark and Carl's hearts to that you guys were the ones who should lead it. And so it's beautiful seeing God getting all the glory and us seeing the fruit of that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what is men's ministry?
Well, I mean, our kind of outlook with the whole men's ministry, especially in the first year, because we were kind of like swimming into the waters and not sure what direction we were going to go. We had the basis of the 33 series that we knew we wanted to continue that. But one thing that Jeff and I kept getting hit with, I think, by the Spirit was guys need a chance to be able to get together with other guys and talk about the stuff that we deal with that is not the same that our wives deal with or that our kids deal with. But at us as men and the calling that God has given us, what do we deal with? And we don't naturally congregate to other guys. You know, it's not a natural default for men to come together and talk about the stuff that we deal with. And Jeff and I's vision from the beginning was we want to promote that. We want to promote the ability for guys to get together. And that's, I mean, the first, that's how the kind of grassroots movement started, was just guys getting together and talking. You know, sometimes it was light stuff. Sometimes it was heavy stuff. We talked about some seriously heavy stuff around a campfire. And that brothers were struggling with. And I think that's how God's been really using this, is we get together, we do studies of his word, and we talk about it. And we talk about what you're dealing with and what I'm dealing with and how did you do that? And how'd you, and to see the multi-generations inside of these things pouring into each other is just really awesome to see.
Yeah, and I think, you know, our first year, like, we didn't just want to say right out of the gate, oh, we need to get involved in an in-depth Bible study, because we're not going to have guys necessarily coming out for that. not that that isn't a goal to get into, you know, get into God's word, but I think for me the first year was we need to create opportunities in an environment where guys just can get together and start building relationships with one another, start trusting one another, start being vulnerable with each other and sharing. And it's been rewarding to see that happen. It's been rewarding to watch relationships build, to have guys say things like, you know, I can't get together with guys I work with and have these kind of discussions. It's all surface. It's all either sports or not. That there's anything wrong with any of that stuff, but it never went, you know, below a certain depth level. But the appreciation a lot of guys expressed to me was, wow, you know, I can't have deep conversations like this out there in the world. And then to see even when it's not a formal men's ministry event, guys outside of, you know, getting together for coffee and talking about kids and family and marriage and that kind of stuff, you know, that's what's been rewarding for me. So I think, you know, we've accomplished our goal, at least for the first year, of starting to build guys building relationships with each other, you know, and it's time to build on that momentum now, you know, keep it going, hopefully include more men, and, you know, start getting into the really deep issues of life and what God's word has to say about it.
Yeah, just one thing I wanted to add to that is because with that promoting of that environment, I am a firm believer that every single guy in this church needs somebody that they could pick up the phone and call and talk to about anything. And you need to be comfortable with that because life's going to throw you some serious curveballs. And you need to be prepared for that. And you're going to need guys by your side to walk through this. So that's what we're trying to promote, is like those relationships where, you know, if I'm having a problem, I know exactly where in my phone book I'm going and calling that person. And I know he's going to be there for me. So
that's awesome. I mean, all four of us, we were all, you know, we all stood around those campfires and we all talked to each other and developed a relationship. And I know for me, it meant a lot to just get to a ground level, with all of you guys in this room and other men that were around those fires. And then going into the gatherings, the men's ministry and getting to know more people. But like you said, being able to just talk about the hard issues, that's something that's so important for men, because as men, you know, biblically we're called to be the shepherds of our families, the leaders of our household, you know, the rocks to our family. And you know, we need the support of each other to get there a lot of times. So that's vitally important for a church and for biblical men. So why is men's ministry so vital to the church in your opinions?
Well, because I think, you know, I've read a lot of books on the subject. I've read one that sticks out in my head is Why Men Hate to Go to Church. And I think for generations and maybe even centuries, the church has become feminized in the sense that, and I partly blame the men for allowing it to happen, because we decided to step back from our God-given role as leaders in the churches, leaders in our families, and you know, thank goodness for the women. They said, well, if you're not going to do it, we're going to step up and we're going to teach the Sunday school classes and we're going to, you know, do all the things that you men are backing off from. So I think, you know, the church has historically, in recent history, become, you know, as from a guy's point of view, well, that's great for women and children, but what does it have for men? You know, Jesus Christ is our example of the epitome of manhood.
Amen.
You know, the epitome of masculinity, which, by the way, is not a bad word. Although, you know, it's become that in society today. Our goal is to encourage men to take our rightful place in the kingdom of God, in the family of Fellowship Church and the bigger universal church, and to lead our families, to lead our children, our wives, to take our place as men of God in society, in politics, in community, you name it. but it all stems from what you know, God's definition of manhood from a biblical standpoint, not because, you know, the biblical definition of manhood is vastly different from what the world says it is today. Yes. And we need to show men what that is, and also that it's not a bad thing. It's mm-hmm. it's a good thing. It's the way God designed it to be.
Yeah, I mean, I echo all of that. I really, it boils down to God created a design because God knows best. He created this design that a man is supposed to be a leader in his home. They're supposed to be the leaders of the church, of God's church. I mean, he has put us in that position. He wants us to do that. And the number one thing with leadership is leadership is not passive. We can't just sit back. Leadership is active. Mm. And that's why it is so important for the church to thrive. We need men to step up and go and do the role that God asked us to do and commanded us to do. Therefore, we need to learn more about what we're supposed to do. That's why I think 33 series was a great kickoff series that we did, because it talked about leadership, not only just in the home, but as a husband in the church, and based upon everything that Christ gave us the example to do. So, yeah.
And you reminded me of something. You said it's about taking an active role. One of the first things said at the beginning of 33 series that we're to do as men is reject passivity. And we even talked about in our discussion groups how we all needed to step up our game. You know, being called to be a man, you know, who is modeled after Christ, it's not an easy thing. We don't have the power to do it. We need the Holy Spirit to give us that strength. And we also need the encouragement of one another to daily step up our game and to be the men that God called us to be. You know, it doesn't come natural in our flesh. But again, Christ is he's our perfect model. We have to find out what that is.
Amen. You kind of hit on there a little bit, Jeff, and you were saying that biblical manhood isn't really accepted in society. In what ways do you think that you think biblical manhood is being attacked today in our culture?
One of it is the leadership role. So God calls us to be the leader, especially in the home environment. It calls us to be the leader. And I think a lot of men do not do what we were talking about in 33 series, was the reject passivity. They kind of want to take the step back, let his wife take care of the kids, teach the kids, all these different things. But when that's his role. And I think society is so set on everybody's equal. Especially when it comes to men and women, I think that's the first attack on biblical male leadership, is this equality. And it's such a gray area. Like, it's a hard one to tackle, because I look to my wife and I understand that I'm the leadership in the home, but in God's design, it flows so well that I don't necessarily need to be like a dictator. And I think the outside world automatically views biblical leadership inside the home as I am a dictator in my house. And that's not it. Me and my wife are a team. Yes, I'm the lead, but it just so flows so well because it's God's perfect design. That's the way God designed it. It's going to work that way. And it's another way that the world is rejecting God, is the attack on male leadership, biblical male leadership.
Yeah, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So, you know, like Dan said, society wants so much to say, really, there's no difference between men and women. It's this fluid thing that can just shift back and forth when you talk about gender or gender roles or whatever you want to call it. God created male and female equal but different for a purpose, for a reason. Not because we're all the same. Our goal as men is to encourage each other to become men the way God intended. The way fatherhood, husbandhood is portrayed in sitcoms, it's just, it's, you know, it's demasculinizing men. It's making them look stupid, always making the wife look smarter, superior, more in control of things. You know, it's really sheds a bad light on men through you know, particularly sitcoms I'm thinking of, but yeah. You know, in other ways too.
Right.
It's the way the world looks at men. Yeah. It seems very popular right now to condemn men because they're men.
Yeah. I was just saw something online about GQ just put out a men's fashion, and most of the men were dressed in dresses. So that's our fashion for men today.
Yeah.
In the culture.
Yeah, all it takes is one look around at society, and you could tell that people have been at work to undermine manhood in any way, shape, and form, any way they possibly could, but definitely biblical manhood. I think that is the prime for their hatred, you know, is anything that would come, anything that would approach God's design in any way, shape,
exactly,
or form.
But does that not speak to how devious the enemy is?
Oh,
because
absolutely.
Attacking men, he knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To attack men at that level and to make them think they're irrelevant or have no purpose or impotent or you know don't need to be leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need to step up. That's the enemy right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much easier is it to destroy the family unit than to attack the men?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Amen.
Yeah, the thing that's supposed to hold the family unit together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but just saying that, there are some people that would call that hate speech.
Of course.
Yeah. You know?
It's a backwards mentality.
Right.
Yeah. Going back to, like, you talk about Genesis and God made man male and female. You look right after that when the serpent comes in. Who does he go to? Goes to the wife.
Yeah.
Right? He totally usurped the authority of the man, of Adam. And he undercut him, went to the wife, divided them. And now part of that curse is that the wife is now striving after her husband,
yeah,
trying, and that we see that, yeah. And I think that's really important.
And if you listen to one of Kanye West's latest songs, he talks about how when we're faced with that same choice, we should have said, "Leave that apple on the tree. We have everything we need."
Yeah, I was about to make that point.
Amen.
So again, that was a failure of men from the beginning, from the outset.
Yeah,
and it continues to this day.
Yeah, he should have crushed the serpent's head.
Right.
Yeah. Adam made the first move of being passive in his leadership that God called him to be, and we live in a fallen world because of that choice right there.
Those are all seriously good points. What are some of the things that take place in men's ministry?
Well, right now we're going through a Monday night series. So we had finished the 33 series, which was 6 different volumes. Now we're tackling the 9 attributes of a man, where it's again based upon attributes that Christ showed. That these are kind of almost like mandatory, not almost, they are mandatory traits that Christ had that are supposed to be conveyed in men. So we're going through that now, which is, we always have a meal first, which is always awesome. That starts at 6:30, and then we start the program.
Yeah,
at 7.
Plug for tomorrow night.
This
is Sunday. Tomorrow night's Monday. and it's a little different format from 33, but I like it. We do get into scripture and, you know, getting into study, there's always a few passages that we read and study and then discuss. You know, don't just jump right to application, but try to understand what the text is saying.
And then we do a bunch of like one-off events, like barbecues and stuff like that. That's geared more towards just getting guys together, just having good food, having conversations, doing something fun. We did a hike last year that was pretty awesome. We ate first and then did a hike, and we'll continue doing those kind of things, especially coming into 2020. So, but those are the things that we're trying to just continuing.
Yeah, we had, you know, everyone in this room again was on that hike. It was an awesome time. We had a pretty good showing for that hike, and several people after that said, is there anything else planned for like the summer? So we decided this year we're trying to plan at least 3 events for the summer.
Awesome.
And yeah, these are just get together events to, you know, to again, relationship building events, but we got some fun things in store, which we don't want to give it all away right now till it's ironed out. But
the spoiler alert:
A pig roast maybe in the
We're looking at it. So
isn't there a guy in the church that has a pig that you could use?
For yeah, I think I know a guy. Might have to check with his wife first.
Yeah, though. Man, I don't think that's gonna fly.
I think she'd say yes.
It's time.
But yeah, we're looking forward to 2020 and the stuff that we have planned for that. Like I said, those one-off events. We actually had just got done. We had a meeting with Pastor Carl, and the thing that we're going to be tackling in fall as part of our Monday night, which we appreciate some prayer for this as we go through curriculum and stuff like that, is one of the plagues on men in society today is sexual integrity. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be tackling that in the fall. Because awesome. I think it's we agree and pastors agree that this is something that we should address, something that every guy deals with on a daily basis, and it's a struggle and it's a battle, and some guys are deeper into that battle than others, but we could all pour into each other and really come around each other to tackle this problem that the enemy has created, because he knows that we're easily susceptible to it. So that's one thing we're going to be tackling this fall. So we're going to have some fun over the summer, but then we're going to get down to some work in the fall. So
that's awesome.
Cool.
I could tell, I think I can speak for both Chris and I, that we're really excited. We're very thankful for this ministry in our own lives, how it's helped us, our marriages, and how we've fathered our children. Mm-hmm. And I think we got a lot that we can be praying for you guys about and for the ministry as a whole. I think we'll end it with one more question is, if there's any men in our church that aren't currently involved with or even seeking to be involved in men's ministry, what would your guys' advice be for them?
Be gentle.
No, don't be gentle.
Well, look, I mean, we can, you know, we can create all the opportunities, events, studies, but I can't create that desire in a man's heart to want to follow after God. That's between him and God. But I would say, you know, life is more, there's more to life than me. You know, there's we're called to pursue God and his righteousness, and we're called, as we outlined, you know, there's a lot of things men are called to do for the kingdom, and we can't do it in a vacuum. We need the encouragement of other men to do life and to do it right. And the guys that are coming out see value in that. For those who don't see the value yet, come to one event, you know, get to know some guys, see what we're all about. I would just encourage, you know, there's a lot of men in our church. I'd encourage them to come out, to get involved. You know, God put them in this church for a reason, because we all have something to offer the body here at Fellowship. And are we using the gifts, you know, that God gave us for the body? And if we're not, you know, take the opportunity to see what God has for you. Come out. You know, if nothing else, you're going to make some friends. And we got some pretty cool guys in this church. Wouldn't you guys agree? Like, yeah, there's some great guys.
Some weird ones.
Yeah, there's a few.
Everybody here.
Everyone in this room. But it's been... I don't know what I'd do without this group of men in this church. And I'd like to see it grow. And I'd like to see other men start to realize, yeah, you know, this is what being part of God's family is all about. So take that step, you know, take that step of faith that maybe there's more than what your life is right now. There's more for men. There's more to life than just going to work, making the money, coming home, you know, doing whatever, hobbies, sports, you know, there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff, but you know, there's more.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, seeking God first, you know, putting Him first, it can be a very rewarding thing.
Yeah, the one thing I just wanted to add in there is, so one of the things that I had to do when I accepted this role was I needed to start beginning to prioritize my time. And that wasn't just me, that was also my wife, that is also my kids. Following Christ, if you are involved in a family, if you're married or you have kids or whatever it may be, you need to prioritize that. And a lot of the excuses I hear is, I'm busy. Welcome to the club. We're all busy. But you need to prioritize your life. You need to carve out, it's an hour and a half, man, on a Monday night. You know, I don't want to sound harsh, but it's an hour and a half to change your walk with Christ. Yeah. And to have brothers pour into you. And you know, you may not get help that night with something that you're dealing with, but you know what? You might help somebody else. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to fellowship with each other. And Jeff and I are very intentional about making sure that we start on time and end on time and all this kind of stuff to make it as easy as possible for you guys.
Well, because we know guys value their time. And we are busy. But, you know, we always find time for the things that we want to do. You know, we can say we're too busy to read our Bibles or to go to men's study or something, but we do find the times to do. We do find time to do the things that we value. So, like Dan said, maybe we have to change our priorities because some things maybe we should value more than others.
All right. Well. Men of the church, it sounds like you have your mission. thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us.
It's been
thanks.
An awesome interview. And thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you enjoyed this episode of Fellowship Podcast, give us an honest 5-star review and share it on all of your social media outlets.